Hey folks, welcome to Older and Wiser. Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora. And I'll tell you what, we're feeling pretty lucky today, aren't we?
Yes, because we're not in Texas freezing.
A bad, bad week in Texas.
You know, you got to find out what went wrong. I mean, this is something clearly either they didn't plan on or they didn't think, they probably thought they would just dodge a bullet and everything would be fine. But when something like this happens, you know, it's like you almost have to always be prepared for the worst. And when you do this, people go, why are you so paranoid? But the truth is, I mean, like the pandemic, I mean, if you prepare for the worst and you didn't need to, fine. Better to have and not need, my husband always used to say.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I've got one solution for them. What they can do is in Texas, if you're in Texas and your electricity goes out and your water goes out, just, you know, hop on a plane and go to Mexico, go to Cabo and stay there until they fix everything. That's what Ted Cruz does, so maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe that's
At some point in time, certainly at his age, learn to read the room.
You think? Let's get started today. More than one in five Americans saved at least $1,000 during the pandemic, according to a recent survey from CNBC. I think that's interesting. With all the terrible stuff that the pandemic has brought to us, I guess it's kind of true that we're saving a few bucks on, you know, a personal level. Are you finding that for yourself?
Well, I had until my car had a problem. And now most of what I had, you know, that was a little bit of a reserve is going to go for a new alternator on my car.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the problem. And this is here's the problem I have, the little snag that gets me about this particular issue and study. The study's a study. It says what it says. But it's almost like, well, if people are saving this money, then they don't really need it.
Oh, is that what it said? I didn't notice that.
No. I'm saying you hear this all the time. You hear, why is it that boomers don't have enough money in their retirement? Because they didn't save enough and they spent too much and they were too self-indulgent. Okay, fine. Never mind the fact that the cost of living went way up and the salaries didn't keep pace.
Right.
But the point is this. When somebody's got a few extra bucks, I know you want the economy to come back. I know we all want to help the local person who's got the restaurant go order out something or what have you, or patronize the local stores. I get that. However, don't knock me on the head for not saving. And then when I do save, say, wait, you should be spending this in the economy.
Well, somebody's going to get hurt one way or another. Certainly, like local restaurants are dying because of this. And honestly, that's kind of where so much of our extra money was going to eating out, dining out, drinks with friends. And one of the things I remember when pre-pandemic was that it was very common to be out at a restaurant and the check would come and you'd go, oh, well, you wouldn't do that out loud, but you'd sort of do that in your mind. And then you'd sign the check and try to forget about it because you were having a lovely time and you just don't want to think about the $150 you just blew on dinner. So when you start adding up all those restaurant charges, if you go a few times a week, boy, it really does add up. And we are not going to restaurants anymore. So truly, it's cash back in our pockets.
I think about everything. And my finances have changed in the last couple of years for a number of reasons, personal and professional. But I don't go out to restaurants. It's rare that I go out for lunch even with a friend.
Yeah.
I don't, because I know that having a great time is one thing. And then what's going to come next? It's not going to be so much fun when the bill comes in the mail. If you put it on a credit card,
you gotta
pay that, and then there's other things you still have to pay too. So, and as you retire, most people who are in some kind of retirement realize that the money that they had and the lifestyle that they had need to change because the money is not the same. And so the less money has to go farther. And,
according to this, it's interesting because according to this survey, the biggest contributing factors were traveling, no longer traveling, 55%, no airplane tickets. I mean, an airplane ticket is, from $300 to $1,000. So if you're not going anywhere, that's money back in your pocket. Not spending on nightlife, 30% said that. And personal care. I hadn't considered this.
This is terrible.
Haircuts, hairdos. You know, like getting your highlights put in and trims and all kinds of tools and makeup and stuff. You're not using that because unless you you know, who cares? Unless you're on Zoom, I guess, with those people who are on Zoom.
Well, and also there are other ways around some of those things. I have talked to friends of mine, girlfriends in particular, I hate to say, who say, oh, I have to go get my highlights put in. And I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Or I have to color my gray. And I mean, you know,
who's going to care?
Well, it's not even that. You can find a cheaper way to do it. You can find the most expensive product in even a Sephora or an Ulta store. They have some things like that that are more expensive than the drugstore brand. And you can do it yourself.
Do it
yourself. It's going to take a little time. And it's going to be something you'll have to do it at home.
And you'll be safer.
You a lot less.
You'll be safer, too.
That's right. So, I mean, it's a matter of what you want to spend money on, you know? So,
I mean, the good thing about this is, according to this survey, which was done, by the way, by MassMutual, 40% of those they asked said they were able to put a little extra cash toward an emergency fund. So, I mean, that's good.
Yeah, I did that, and I think that's a smart thing to do at any time of your life. I think most of us did not do it for a long time growing up, and now we realize we should have, and if you still can, I don't think it's too late to start. It may be too late to build up more whatever you need, but there's only two ways to improve your situation if financially, and that is either you make more money, which is hard to do, or you decrease your expenses. So you have to look at everything. And a lot of the stuff you don't really need.
Kids need to learn early. Start putting money away into an emergency fund, because once you're 50 or 60 years old, it's a little too late to start. I mean, not too late, but you know, you're not going to have
the time to build it up the way you want.
All right, let's move on to our next topic today. This I found in Mental Floss. Do you ever see Mental Floss? It's a kind of a cute little website. They got a lot of good stuff in there.
I've heard of it.
It's amusing.
And I may have looked at it, but it was a while back.
This article is done by Jay Serafino, and the headline is 19 Weird Laws You May Have Broken. Weird Laws You May Have Broken. Okay, so here's the first one. From Gainesville, Georgia, you can be arrested for trying to eat fried chicken with a knife and fork.
Why?
Okay. It was a joke ordinance that was passed in 1961. Technically still on the books. They did it during the Poultry Capital of the World celebration, and they made that little law. They don't really enforce it, but, you know, I guess the idea is we live down here in fried chicken country. You got to eat your chicken with your hands. Fried chicken.
You know, some of these are really... it's like... We put it in. It was a good idea at the time. And now it's like, you know, 200 years later or something. And, that's still there.
Somebody needs to remember to take these back out after they're going to put a joke in.
Yeah. Some of them are a little weird.
In Oklahoma, there's a law that says that it's illegal to wrestle with a bear.
I think that's a good law. I feel sad that we'd have to actually tell somebody to do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, you would think the punishment would be built into that one.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
You know,
assume too much these days.
Yeah, you'd be sorry you broke that law before you even got arrested for it, I would imagine. So, in Massachusetts, spitting on the sidewalk will get you a $20 fine.
All right, that one I like.
Yeah.
That one I like. I think, was it Jim Palmer was the baseball player?
Yeah.
I think he came on the show. I think the show that we did in San Francisco. And I remember asking him why ball players have to spit.
Yeah.
And he cracked up. And I thought, I still don't get it. Why do you have to spit? And I remember men say, sometimes you just have to spit. And I'm thinking, I've never had to spit.
No.
I mean, if you have a bronchial cough and you got to cough something up, that's one thing. Okay. Or you have to blow your nose. That's a different story. You've got a cold and things are different. But I've never felt like, you know, I'm walking down the street. I think I need to spit.
It's a guy thing. It's a guy thing.
Why?
I feel left out of the group because I never figured out why you need to do it. So,
well, don't.
No.
Don't. And I don't know if you have to find somebody, but, you know, it's not a bad thing to say. This is not a good thing to do. So if it's got to be a rule, fine. I'm sure nobody would pay attention to it anyway. Because like you said, it's a guy thing.
It's a guy thing. Also in Massachusetts, you can be fined $50 for swearing at players and officials at a sporting event. So don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, you know, so come on.
It's a shame we have to have rules that have to remind people just to behave.
Be normal. Well, cursing in general is something that, you know, you used to not really hear a lot of.
Yeah, now everybody's mouth is like the toilet.
In Virginia, you could get fined $250 for cursing in public. $250. Wow. I wonder how often they enforce any of these. I bet not very often.
Oh, I bet you half the people don't know about them. And the only ones who now know about them is whoever's listening to us at this moment.
Yeah. You know, Massachusetts seems to be a pretty uptight little state as I'm coming down the list here. There are quite a few.
Yeah, I lived there. I remember in Boston,
Yeah, because Massachusetts also has a law on the books that punishes blasphemy. So if you're saying anything bad about God, you can be charged with that.
And what if you're an atheist?
That's what I'm saying.
Although I suppose the atheists are not talking about God.
Also, it's a Class B misdemeanor there to commit adultery. Actually, this is in New York City. A Class B, oh, wow. In New York City, you could be given...
Look!
No, just any affair.
So, in other words, you're having an affair and somebody finds out and they report you, you can get arrested?
A Class B misdemeanor, charged with a misdemeanor. It's adultery.
Boy, we really aren't that removed from the Puritans, are we?
We're lucky we don't live in the UK, though, because in London, if you beat your doormat after 8 a.m. in the morning, that's illegal. Okay, I don't care about that. Honking your car horn outside of a restaurant in Little Rock, Arkansas before 9 p.m., will get you a ticket too. Any place where they serve cold drinks or sandwiches, you can't honk your horn. So there.
What are you going to offend the ham?
I don't know.
I understand if somebody's honking a horn for a long time because they're coming to pick somebody up at a restaurant and they're out there and they're beating on it and everything. I mean, you could easily just maybe come in and do it, or if you can't, whatever. I mean, you might have to let somebody know you're there. Maybe I'll honk the horn 3 times at 9 o'clock and come out.
Yeah.
And then might do it 3 more times.
Yeah,
lean on the horn and you're disturbing the peace, you're disturbing everybody in the restaurant and everybody outside.
I guess that's too, so. And especially now when people are sitting on the sidewalks. You don't want a car pulling up and honking the horn. Yeah. Give them a ticket. This is one I'm not quite clear on. In New York City, you can go to jail for 30 days for putting on any performance of a puppet.
Oh, God. Hey, arrest me.
Bring her back. Bring her back.
Let me see.
I remember this puppet from years ago. For those of you listening, Susan has brought up a puppet into the camera shot. Okay, what is her name?
Salmonella.
That's a little kooky bananas. You guys are a little bit...
So I'm not going to be living in New York anytime soon with my puppet.
30 days
in jail.
Because
to do a show in the window, that might be good because you've got an audience all the time in New York City.
Did you know that in Boulder, Colorado, it's illegal to put an upholstered piece of furniture on your front porch? Illegal. Not allowed to do it.
No, but I've heard people be upset with that. Here's the thing.
Sometimes they move an old couch out on the porch and it looks crummy, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, you can move a couch out on the porch for the summer. And if it's out there and it's sort of it's like bringing the indoors out as opposed to the other way around. That can work to some degree. But if you put a really old couch out on the edge of or on the porch and it's not covered and it rains, and then the thing's getting more and more rotted and nobody's taking it, using it, then it starts to be an eyesore.
Here's something I've actually done. In 2007, a Michigan man was prosecuted for using a cafe's free Wi-Fi from his car. So I guess apparently in Michigan, it's an infraction of the law to use someone's a computer network without authorization. And if you don't go in to buy a cup of coffee, then that's considered not having authorization. He had to do 40 hours of community service and pay $400 because he pulled up outside a restaurant and used their Wi-Fi. I don't think that's right. I think especially these days, Wi-Fi, you got to grab it where you can.
Do you have a year when that rule was put in?
Don't know. Might have even been before. Guy got arrested in 2007. I bet they don't do that. I bet they don't enforce that law anymore from those. Yeah. Here's an item from grunge.com. I'm sure you read grunge all the time, don't you, Susan?
I do not, but go ahead. I'm always willing to learn.
Here are some bizarre things people believed 50 years ago, and they obviously are silly now. For example, 50 years ago, drunk driving was thought of as a rite of passage.
Yeah, I could see that. And I mean, I understand why it was so. I think it was wrongheaded. And hopefully we know better now. We do. People can be in accidents, and people, you can cause an accident, you can hurt somebody, you can kill somebody. So
I remember taking it pretty lightly, even in 40 years ago, when I was in my 20s. We didn't have Ubers. So you'd be out somewhere and you'd be drinking and stuff, and as long as you felt like you could walk to the car, you would drive home. And that's, as I think about the havoc I could have created in my car had I actually had an accident.
Well, you know, when you know better, you do better, as Maya Angelou says. But I will say this, this sounds more like a guy thing again, because I don't remember the girls ever saying, we have to go out and get drunk and you have to drive the car. That never happened. In fact, I don't recall ever being in a car with a girlfriend who was maybe older or had her license or just was able to get the car, and any of us being drunk.
We self-monitored. By that, I mean, we simply said, how do I feel? I think I can drive. Instead of how many drinks have you had? Your blood alcohol level is a certain number, and so you can't drive. So
yeah.
We didn't look at it scientifically. We just sort of said, I think I can do it. And there were times I drove when I definitely should not have been behind the wheel. Back in the 60s, you could bring your gun to school. Yeah. In certain parts of the country, you know, they had gun clubs. The schools for the boys off usually had gun clubs, and they'd bring their guns to school. And then after school, they'd go shoot them with the teacher.
Not in Red Bank Catholic High School, they didn't. Not with the Sisters of Mercy, they didn't. Not that I know of. I mean, and certainly that probably would have been a guy thing had it existed. But
can you imagine?
You know, when do you need to bring a gun to school?
Airline stewardesses had to be hot in those days.
Oh.
Because being hot, as it says here in the headline, I think this is cute, was literally part of the job description. Airlines literally said that you had to, in order to be a flight attendant, you had to be between 20 and 27, thin and well-proportioned. You couldn't weigh more than 140 pounds. You had to be between 5'2 and 5'9 and be unmarried and childless.
I remember my Uncle Joe saying to me once, I think I was in either high school or college. I don't know. I think I was still in my teen years, maybe, so like 18. He'd say, you ought to become an airline stewardess. And I said, me? Why? And he goes, because you've got the gift of gab.
Oh, well, that was a compliment.
And all my friends said, how long did it take them to find that out? But you know what? I first thought of? I thought, I'm probably not skinny enough or cute enough or anything like that. I'm not hot enough is what it is, because that's what you had to be then. And it's kind of ridiculous, but
it was.
So be it. That's what it was. And it's not anymore. Thank goodness.
There was no awareness at all.
I was going to say, didn't they have classes where they taught them how to walk sexy and everything and make sure, you know, and they weighed them. I had friends who were stewardesses, not when I knew them maybe, but I met them later as adults. And they said, yeah, I used to be a stewardess for Pan Am or whatever. I had a couple of friends who did that, and they weighed you and you couldn't have kids. I don't think you could even be married.
No, you couldn't be married.
And you had to be hot and available.
That was it. Hot and available, because our customers might want to pick you up. Or
which customers are we talking about once again?
Treat you.
Are we back to boys will be boys?
Inappropriately. Yeah. They want to.
Yes, we are.
Isn't that awful? It's really bad.
It is awful.
You could get suspended if you got a bruise on your leg for in some way. Yeah. You had to retire at 32. So there was that. Imagine that.
Say that again. Retire.
You had to retire from
32.
Being a stewardess at 32, which meant you basically.
You were too old.
Too old. You either had to go home with your. With their husband that you probably found in the first class section, or you had to go get another job, but you couldn't be a hot and sexy stewardess after
Mother
32.
Of God.
In those days, we also believed that seatbelts were totally unnecessary. You remember
now
those
that
days?
One, yes, I do. And you know, when I get in a car, every now and then, if I'm going somewhere, if I'm pulling out of somewhere, oh, I didn't put my seatbelt on. It rarely happens, but I always think of it. And you know, one of the things is they made a law saying if they catch you without a seatbelt, they could give you a ticket. And so everybody thought about it a little bit more and a lot more. And it's worked. And it does save lives. I do believe that. But I think, wow, we drove around without anything protecting us. If somebody hit us from the back or somebody came and we weren't paying attention, right through the windshield.
I remember sliding as a kid, sliding across the seat back and forth as my mom would make right turns and left turns. You know, of course, we all know the mom arm, you know.
Right.
Mom would reach out to hold you when you pulled up to a stoplight, yeah, right? So yeah. You didn't slide off the seat.
Technically, when we were in the car with our mothers, if it was just one kid, us and mom, the safest thing to do, but they didn't always do it, was to have you sit in the back seat.
Right. But we sat in the front. We always sat in the front.
Yeah. We sat in the front wasn't smart. And at least we're hopefully, I think as a society, we could say we're all smarter about that pretty much in general.
I remember when my dad got some seat belts in a car and they were these long, clumsy things and you had to thread them through and clamp them down. And it really felt like you were just being roped in, you know, mm-hmm. you were roped down to the seat. We hated them. And everybody did hate the restrictiveness of the seatbelt.
Now we're used to it. And I think a lot of women had a problem. Like if you were going to a wedding, let's say between home and the church, you'd think, oh, it's a short drive and I don't want to get wrinkled.
Right.
You know, but the truth is that's when a lot of accidents happen. It's like, it used to be, there was a study years ago and I don't know if they've updated it, but it was like most accidents happen somewhere within 25 miles of home.
Right.
So it doesn't always happen like out on the big highway or someplace where you're on some big long trip.
That's absolutely correct. And they didn't even mandate seatbelts until the mid 80s. So it took them a long time from the introduction of seatbelts in the 50s mm-hmm. to the 80s to kind of convince people and insist that this is something we got to do.
God, when you think about some of these things like smoking and seatbelts and, you know, it's like,
how did we not know?
How are we alive?
Smoking, how did we not know? It just seems so obvious. Mm-hmm. This cannot be good for you. Hey, do you remember this one? Vegetables of any sort. They used to put them in Jello and that was considered good. That was a thing.
Lettuce and carrots.
Yeah, we used to think that was good.
Lettuce and carrots. Yeah. Somebody would have a Jello mold for, I don't know, like a family, like a 4th of July barbecue or something. Somebody would bring a Jello mold and it would have things floating. I mean, bananas is, that's one thing. Okay. Bananas and Jello. Sure. My mother did that one, but I was never a big fan of Jello.
No.
My dad liked it. You know, it was a big thing in the 50s. My dad and Ward Cleaver liked Jello, I guess, you know, but bananas and Jello made sense. And then there were people who put carrots and lettuce and, oh my gosh.
I guess it was intended to be healthy. It was probably our version of health food back in those
days.
Then
how about eating a salad?
Yeah,
isn't
just
that
leave the lime Jello out of the equation completely.
Well, you know what? How you found out that you were onto something? If you went to the hospital for your tonsils or anything more serious, even later in life, and they brought you Jello and the hospital food, and you realized, ooh.
Yeah. You realize this isn't so
it's
good.
It's not healthy. It's I don't know what it costs. I don't think I bought a box of Jell-O in my marriage.
On that note, it's time to wrap things up. And as always, we like to wrap up with Susan's final thought for the day. So, Susan, what is your final thought for the day?
Keep your puppets out of the window in New York.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for joining us, folks. For all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, check us out at olderandwiser.com. See you next week, Susan.
Bye-bye.